We've gathered here today not to mourn, but to celebrate. It's always good when I can stand and say that because I knew the person. And I know that the illness that he suffered was hard for the family even to endure. And so in times like this, we need to remind ourselves that he was a very special person to a lot of people. Ben Whitson Jr., born in Fort Smith, Arkansas, May the 18th, 1923, departed this life November the 2nd, 2001, at the age of 78 years. And may I say 78 full years. He was a member of Phoenix Village Baptist Church. He is survived by his wife, Lila Whitson, of the home. By three sons, Michael Ben Whitson of Fort Smith, Stephen Lynn Whitson of Greenwood, Kim Allen Whitson of Cabot, two sisters, May Moran of Mena, Arkansas, and Thelma Smith of Van Buren, five grandchildren. And that's one thing I remember about him very much. He always talked about his grandchildren. He loved his grandchildren. There was no question. He always looked forward to their visits. And then four great grandchildren. The first thing that I want to add to this, and I find difficulty in adding anything to what has already been said because I think that it gives us an accurate picture of what Ben was like. But I just want to tell the family that I'm honored. And I want to thank you for the privilege of being a part of the service that honors your loved one. I was his pastor for, I guess, 4.5 years while I was at Phoenix Village, and I got to know him, I think, at least a small way. I remember that we would sometimes, a small group, we would go up to Western Citizen and debate on how many times we could cut a hamburger in half. There was two or three that, you know, they didn't ever want a whole hamburger. They always wanted a half. Now, I don't know if Ben ever participated in that, but I know that many of the ladies that went did. He probably ate the whole thing himself. I know I never gave up part of mine. But got to know him. And in that time I got to know him, I realized that even in his quietness, now I know that that the things he said are true and everything, but for most of us, we always saw him as just sort of being the quiet man. He was a very humble man. And one thing that he would not want us to do today would be to try to picture him as being a perfect man. He knew that he was not perfect, but that didn't keep him from striving to be. And that's what we all ought to all do, is strive to be that way. But there's something else I remembered about him, and that is even in his quietness, he was always that support, the one that would give us encouragement when things were not going in, you know, quite the way that we would like to. I know we preachers are always never satisfied. I was told one time if we had 1,000, I'd always want more, and that'd be true. That would be true. But he was always an encouragement. It was while I was at Phoenix Village that Ben was ordained a deacon. During the ordination, there's always the questioning and asking the questions. And one of the things that we always do, and that is ask for a testimony. Ben, you know, sort of indicated he wasn't really prepared for a speech or anything, but began to tell us about his salvation experience. And so even though I don't remember a lot of the details, I do remember coming away with the assurance that is necessary, that he had the qualifications to be a deacon, and he was ordained. And, of course, that involved his salvation and the assurity of his salvation. And we are very, very comforted today to know that he truly had accepted the Lord. And that we are able to, even today, to have peace when we, to know what Paul meant when he said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He is at peace with his Lord today, and he's at home. And because I'm going through much of the same thing that this family is going through, my father has Alzheimer's and has Parkinson's disease and has recently been put into a nursing home. I can understand. We need to understand and know that he's no longer sick, no longer going through those things. He is in full, perfect health with his Lord. And I know that that must give you comfort to know that, because I know that's what I anticipate and look forward to in my own life. We're gathered here today not to mourn, but to celebrate. But that doesn't keep us from feeling the sadness, because we're always saddened by separation. I remember that when the grandkids had to go back to Alaska, you know, the sadness that was caused by that at the time. Sadness is not just related to death, it's separation. And that's what we're feeling today, is that separation. And we need to see this today as being that type of separation where we're separated from him. But hopefully, and I know that for Ben, he would also pray that it not be forever, that we would have the opportunity to reunite with him. I've chosen the passage of Scripture in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, because it describes for us the rapture. You know, the church being raptured out. And as we look at the signs of the time in which we now live, I believe that many of us are realizing that that may be a lot closer than what we may have thought even a month or two ago. But it begins in the 13th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, but the 13th verse. Says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. But if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." It tells us that we're not to be ignorant concerning death. We need to understand the reality of death, but at the same time, we're not to be ignorant. We're not to look at death in the same way that a person that did not know the Lord Jesus Christ would look at death and see the absolute end to all things at that point. We have a hope. We have a future. We have a time in which there will be a great reunion and a fellowship will take place, and we can participate, and we can be a part of that. In fact, it tells us that we are to comfort one another with these words. And that is that we can comfort today. We can be comforted today to know that this is only for a time, and it can be a passing thing. The greatest words of comfort that I can give today is that there is no longer pain and no longer sickness, but he is at home with his Lord. These are the words which I would also share with you today. Ben placed his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is today precious in God's sight. The Bible has much to say about death from the first book to the last. In Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter and the 2nd verse, it tells us there is a time to be born and a time to die. Life and death go hand in hand. If one lives, one will also die. I met Ben in 1990 as his pastor, and I got to know him at least in a small way, but I think I knew him quite well in this. You feel pain. You are experiencing loss, but God can and will give peace, even where there is no peace. always like to talk about that because it says it is the peace that passeth all understanding. Literally what that tells us that there is peace where there is no peace. That we can have peace even in this. Our comfort can be found in Jesus Christ as revealed in the Word of God. I know of no greater comforting words than to give you the words of our Lord Himself as we find in the 14th chapter of John, where it simply says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." You can comfort each other today. These words are for you. They are for you. And can I talk to you the way I talked to Ben? We have no promise of tomorrow. You know, we know that we will not live forever. And it becomes a wise thing to prepare for this day. Because death is an ugly reality of life. A reality that we must all face. As the Lord tarries, our days on this earth are numbered, and only God knows the number of our days. Some would say that today is not a day that we ought to think about ourselves. But will there ever be a day in our life when death is more real than it is today? And because death is real and our days are numbered, then what we do with our lives is important. Death is a day in which we are to prepare for. We must prepare for this day as Ben prepared for this day by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. It has been and is God's plan that death not be the eternal thing that separates us forever, but only a passing thing. Ben never questioned his salvation. And I want to read a passage in Romans because I believe that we need to ponder these thoughts. We need to think about this in our own life as we make preparation for that day. But in the 10th chapter, beginning at the 9th verse, says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between the Jew or the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call on him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Christ came for us. We can think about the cross and the reality of the cross, but Jesus Christ came with a purpose, with a plan, and that was that when he came and he died on Calvary, he came for us that we might have salvation. And all we must do is just call upon his name, believing in what he has accomplished for us. He died on the cross and made a way for us that by faith that we receive him, we receive eternal life, and for us, even death then is conquered. You know, there is no sting in death today because Ben has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. I pray that in the coming days that you will also think on these things and that you would make ready for this day in your life to be certain concerning your salvation, to be certain concerning the destiny of your soul. Let us pray together. Dear God, we just come to you, Lord. And Lord, we do want to pray, first of all, for the comfort that passes all understanding. Lord, that you comfort this family, that you comfort these friends. Lord, that you speak to each heart, even here today. And Lord, we just want to pray that you would just give courage for the coming days. Lord, we know that there will be days in which this sadness will feel greater than others, but God, we would just pray right now that you would just help us to be able to overcome these things, Lord. And Lord, if there be one here that has not yet accepted you as Savior and Lord, that God today, that the Holy Spirit might prick that heart, might touch that soul, and they might realize their need, and that they might come to salvation. I know that Ben would want this more than anything. And so, God, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God.